Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We're continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we started looking at verse number 12, which says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Now, as we started looking at this passage, we started looking at the issue of how it's God who's going to cause an increase in it, the members of the body of Christ. We start looking at the issue of how it is that God works in an individual, working in someone who has put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. When a person puts their trust in that message, they become a member of the body of Christ. And these are the individuals that God can work in. And we left off looking at how it is that the Spirit communicates with the spirit that's inside of a man, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, so that way we can have an understanding of what God's Word says for us today. And the result of our understanding of the Word and that growth is that the change occurs in the individual, so that way we can experience what we see. If we turn over to Galatians chapter number 2, we see how Paul describes what happens in us here in verse number 20 of Galatians chapter 2, which says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And we see how it's the Lord Jesus Christ who works in an individual, so that way they're doing the things that God intends for them to do. And it's only way that that can occur is by the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. And it's not us at any point in time that's really the issue. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in us and living through us that really becomes that issue, and how we then are functioning properly and we can start to experience that increase that the Apostle Paul speaks of in his epistle to the assembly in Thessalonica. Now we see how Paul describes the issue of that growth and how it is that we learn to do the right things. If we turn over into the book of Titus, and we're going to Titus chapter number 2, and we're going to see how Paul's going to describe this issue here. And we're going to read starting here in verse number 11 in Titus chapter 2. And it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he may redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." And as the Apostle Paul describes this work inside of an individual and how the Word is working, how the Lord Jesus Christ works through us, how all of these things that we've been looking at occur, we see that it's the grace of God that's going to do this. So it's that understanding of that it's only through the message that has been committed to the Apostle Paul, the information that we find starting in the book of Romans, ending with the book of Philemon, that's the information that can have an impact on a believer today. And we have to stress this because so many individuals try to pull doctrine, try to pull information for themselves out of anywhere but the things written by the Apostle Paul. They'll try to pull things out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to say that because it's the Lord Jesus Christ teaching that this is the information of how it is that we are supposed to live our life, and it's given to, really to Israel, but people think it's given to them to try to say that this is the doctrine that's necessary. And Paul says no. That's why he said it was given to him to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It was given to him to give this doctrine to individuals, committing it to people so that way they can be able to go out and share it with others, so that way they can have this same growth of what we see happening here in verse 12 when it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That it's the doctrine that's found in Romans through Philemon, the information that Paul's defining here is the grace of God, that is this information that is going to, as it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So it's this information that's going to teach us to not do the things of this world. That's what we see in the passage we had looked at last time in Romans chapter number 12 of be not conformed unto this world. So those are the things of this world that Paul's speaking of here. And then in Romans it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the second part of this verse here when it says, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So it's the grace of God that's not only teaching the thing of here's what you're not supposed to do, it's the grace of God that also teaches here are the things that you as a member of the body of Christ should be doing in order to be pleasing to God. Here are the things that if you're doing this, if you're following this doctrine, you're going to experience that increase that Paul was speaking of in our verse here when he says back here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 12 about the issue of the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. So it's the grace of God that's going to cause this increase that he's speaking of. And it's not only is it an increase, but the second part of this, and it says, and abound. So there's another term that the Apostle Paul is using to describe what is happening related to the issue of love and what should be present in the life of a believer today. And just as we defined the issue of increase, well, let's define here the issue of abound. And again, we're going to use the 1828 dictionary And the first definition is to have or possess in great quantity, to be copiously supplied, followed by with or in, as to abound with provisions, to abound in good things. The second one here is to be in great plenty, to be very prevalent. And then it uses a verse out of Paul's epistles that helps to define this here. And let's turn over there very quickly, which is Romans chapter number 5 in verse 20, to see what this verse says. And it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Now, on the surface of things, it would almost seem like these two words are saying the exact same thing. And while it may appear to be that way on the surface, there is a clear distinction between these two words, and the Apostle Paul uses two different words to give a distinction and for a purpose that he's saying this here. When we look at this issue of increase, that's speaking specifically about the growth, something that God was causing to be more of. And the issue of abound is talking about the prevalence of it, meaning it would actually be demonstrated. So this is something that could actually be present, and it could think of that the person would actually be able to see the outworking of that love. So it's an issue of having a growth and also having it actually working out from the individual. And that's why we see this whole issue of the love that God wants to have extended towards individuals. And as we continue looking at this passage, we'll see how it's a love that's being extended not to just the members of the body of Christ, but it's a love that needs to be extended towards all individuals. And it's always easy to demonstrate love towards the people who are members of the body of Christ. It's harder to be extending it to other individuals. And as we continue on in this passage, we're going to look at some things that explain why this is. Now, before we get there, we're going to talk a little bit about the issue of love and why that's so important. And it's a word that we see used over and over again in Scripture. You know, we see it in Paul's epistles. We see it in things related to Israel. But we see this issue of love that keeps getting brought up over and over again because of the fact of how God is described here in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 8, when it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So, part of the nature of who God is the fact that God is love. That's a big part of who He is, and because that's who He is, God wants this to be demonstrated by us, the members of the body of Christ. Now, when we look at this idea of love, and this is going to be one of those few times that, you know, we're actually going to use some Greek words as we're discussing some things, because while English just has a thing of, it just says love, that we see that there are actually four different words that are actually translated as love, each one of them demonstrating a particular aspect or a particular type of love that that a member of the body of Christ or any believer, depending on, you know, which dispensation is being talked about, that love should actually be demonstrated. Now, the first one of these is, and hopefully I'll be pronouncing these properly, the first one is storge, and the meaning of it is the love that family members have for each other. So it's a natural affection that comes about because of a close relationship that's there because, you know, the person is a member of the family. And we're going to see as an example of that being spoken of, let's turn over into the book of Romans. We're going to turn to Romans chapter number 12. We're going to see here in Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verse number 10, which says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." So this description of this kindly, you know, this thing of what Paul's describing here is reflecting the fact of this love that's really to be between family members, demonstrating that care that is supposed to be present. And, you know, and I say supposed to be present because unfortunately there are cases where people aren't demonstrating that love towards family members, but that's supposed to be a natural thing of who we are, that we have this care for the people who are in our family. You know, and by demonstrating that, that's how we can start to demonstrate love towards other individuals as well. Now, the second word that would be translated would be the word eros, and this would be a love of passion. It'd be where we get the kind of term of that, you know, kind of erotic love from, you know, the word eros. And an example of this would be, you know, things of, you know, Samson's love and desire for Delilah. You know, you see it in the thing of David and his demonstration of that towards Bathsheba. This, you know, kind of, you know, we would almost possibly even use the word lust to describe these things, but it's a more of a romantic type of love that's being described. We have the third term here, phileo, which would be companionship. It's in response to pleasure seen in something. So the idea of, you know, we could almost look at it as, you know, that kind of a friendship type of love thing. And there's a couple passages that are actually going to demonstrate this. Let's look at these quickly here. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And we're going to see how this love is even being spoken of related here in 1 Corinthians 16, related to the relationship between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ here. And it's going to be verse 22 that we're speaking of, and it says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." And so this issue of how, as Paul's closing this epistle, he's talking about how you know, if there's individuals who don't have that love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all members of the body of Christ really should have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a love for him, you know, because we have the understanding of what he has truly accomplished for us. How he has taken care of the issue of sin. How he's made us free from the law. How by his sacrifice we have that forgiveness is already a present possession. And we know that because of the work that he did, that there is nothing that can be done that could ever be put to our account to be able to separate us from him. And that demonstration of love that he gave for us, and I'm already kind of speaking about the last one, and I don't want to go that far in it, but let's turn over to Titus chapter number 3. Because there's another verse here that speaks of this phileo love here. And here in Titus chapter number 3, we're going to look here at verse number 15, which says, "All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen." So, this issue of greet them that love us in the faith is speaking of this phileo type love, this companionship type of love. Now, the last one here is the agape love, and it's the issue of a love that, you know, in the definition of love that shows a prizing not based on the worth of the object, but based on its nature. And how really this agape love, what we see with it is it's a love that is, you know, demonstrated, you know, and this is by God towards mankind, and a kind of a really a perfect love that he has no conditions placed on. Let's turn over to Romans chapter number 5. And we're going to see this love being spoken of here. And in Romans chapter number 5, we're going to read here starting at verse 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And the issue of this, the love of God that has been demonstrated, and that whole issue of, you know, a love that, you know, really mankind did not deserve this love, but this love is being demonstrated by God because of who he is, and it's all reflective of the plan that God had laid out before the foundation of the world, related to the establishment of a body of Christ that was going to take, that was going to be used to reconcile the heavenly places back unto himself. Now, next time we're going to finish up looking at this issue of love. We're going to continue on the thing of how this is actually being demonstrated by the members of the body of Christ. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook. How to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything you see on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.